Welcome to Stories Podcast. I'm your host, Amanda Weldon. Today's story is Chapter 2 of The Wilderwood, Book 2, a fantasy serial co-written for you by Daniel Hines and Joseph Montebello. There are 6 chapters in Book 2, so be on the lookout for new installments over the course of the next 2 months. Today, we'd like to say a special thank you to Holden and Bennett Miller and their family in Indianapolis, Indiana, Abigail and Emily Grieg and their family in Jakarta, Riley and Will Pate and their family in Birmingham, Alabama, Maxine and Elodie and their family in San Ramon, California, Peter and his family in Minneapolis, Minnesota, and Harper and Wyatt and their family in Westminster, Colorado. Thank you so much, Wyatt, Harper, Peter, Elodie, Maxine, Will, Riley, Emily, Abigail, Bennett, and Holden. You are part of what makes it possible for us to continue to produce fun new stories for our listeners. If you would like to support Stories Podcast and get every episode ad-free, head over to patreon.com/stories and join for just $1 a month. If you'd like access to all of our ebooks or to receive a thank you in a future episode, that's also available at patreon.com/stories. We have new Stories Podcast face masks available. Check those out, plus all of our other merch at storiespodcast.com/shop. And don't forget to follow us on Instagram at Stories Podcast. If you send us a drawing of your favorite scene or character, we'll share it on our feed. Now here's a word from our sponsors. You're the hiring expert for your company, and what you really need is help making your shortlist of quality candidates. You need a hiring partner who helps make your life easier. You need Indeed. Indeed is the job site that makes hiring as easy as 1, 2, 3. Post, screen, and interview, all on Indeed. Get your quality shortlist of candidates whose resumes on Indeed match your job description faster. Only pay for the candidates that meet must-have qualifications, and schedule and complete video interviews in your Indeed dashboard. Indeed makes connecting with and hiring the right talent fast and easy with tools like Indeed Instant Match, giving you quality candidates whose resume on Indeed fits your job description immediately, and Indeed Skills Tests, that on average reduces hiring time by 27%. You can choose from more than 130 skills tests or add your own, then add your must-have requirements so you only pay for applicants that meet them. According to Talent Nest, Indeed delivers 4 times more hires than all other job sites combined. If you're hiring, you need Indeed. Get started right now with a free $75 sponsored job credit to upgrade your job post at Indeed.com/stories. Indeed.com/stories. Offer valid through June 30th. Terms and conditions apply.
Hey, grown-ups.
On the Nintendo Switch system, you can team up with friends in Super Mario Bros. Wonder.
Where you can meet talking flowers.
Life's full of surprises.
And where piranha plants sing.
And where Mario, Luigi, and Peach turn into elephants.
Wowie zowie!
And where this announcer turns into a...
super tiny announcer!
That's not in the game.
Sorry, got a little excited. Nintendo Switch, the home of Mario and friends. Game rated E for everyone. Game and system sold separately.
Thanks! Enjoy the episode. The Wilderwood. Book 2, Chapter 2. Waxham followed Nezzy, both of them looking up at the trees around them as they went. Lachlan followed behind, bow in hand. Wax didn't think much of the squire. He made more noise than Wax and Nezzy combined, but they were still glad to have him along. Wax had spent a lot of time in the forest back in their homeland, and they felt more comfortable in the cool shade of the whistlewood fronds than anywhere else in the world. Here, the trees were unfamiliar, stretching tall and alien, chittering with strange creatures, and Wax had no idea what to listen for. To make matters worse, the druid girl Nezzy didn't know this forest as well as she had told her friends. She seemed just as intrigued as the rest of them, and just out of place. Maybe it was just the shock of losing her mother, the druid leader Shelsani, but Wax didn't think so.
"We have to at least find some water," Lachlan grumbled suddenly. He was clearly not used to trekking through the woods and was sweating and grubby in his armor. Of course, Waxham was thirsty too, though they wouldn't admit it.
"I know," Nezzy said. "We're looking for it."
The squire wasn't happy with the answer. "I hope you can find some. I can't, and I don't think he can either." The elf girl stopped short and shot Lachlan such a nasty look that Wax was surprised vines didn't grow out of his ears. They, Wax said automatically. What? Lachlan looked confused. They. I'm not a he, I'm a they. Lachlan just stood there staring. Waxham kept talking, just to break the silence. You're a boy and she's a girl. I'm sort of neither of those and also sort of both, so if you're talking about me, you can say they or them, or Waxham. Wait, are all halflings they? It was clear the squire hadn't learned the first thing about the world beyond the walls of his precious castle mount. Wax shook their head. There are halfling men and women, boys and girls, but there are also halflings like me that don't fit neatly into those two categories.
Not just halflings, Nezzy said. The same is true of all the people of the realms.
The squire's cheeks reddened. He was trying to think of something to say, but Wax figured that anything he could say would probably only make things more complicated.
Let's just get back to finding water. We can talk all about it later if you want.
Wax put on a big, fake, sweet smile. Lachlan just nodded. Nezzy looked relieved.
And I know how to find the water, she said.
How? Lachlan asked, at the same time Wax was saying, where?
Douse root, Nezzy said.
It didn't mean anything to the halfling. They looked at Lachlan, but he shrugged. The elf bit her lip, as if trying to muster her confidence. When she opened her mouth, Wax was surprised to hear her sing.
The countless streams of Wilderwood run shallow, clear, and chill. You'd think a drink could never hurt, but many waters will. The douse root bush will point you to the currents that are fair. And where its hairy roots come out, the safest sips are there.
It was nothing like the war songs of the elves Waxham had fought. Nezzy's song wasn't just words or music. It was like the sound the wind might make if it wanted to comfort a child. Wax looked down, not sure how to handle the unexpected beauty, and then they looked over at Lachlan. The paladin squire was clearly more focused on the meaning of the song than the tune, peering at the nearest bush with interest.
But the roots are underground. How are we supposed to follow them if we can't see them? Do we dig them up?
Nezzy ignored Lachlan. She knelt before a smaller bush, closing her eyes, and held her arms in a rough circle around it. Quietly humming, she flexed her fingers out straight. When she folded them in, the leaves on the bush began to glow very faintly, as if there were a tiny star in each one. She leaned forward and lowered her fists to the ground. The light traveled down each stem and into the roots, disappearing underground. Lachlan opened his mouth and then shut it again as he noticed another douse root bush that had lit up nearby.
Douse root, huh? Said Waxham. That's a neat trick. So, what now?
Nezzy stood up, blushing.
Now, which one looks brightest?
Waxham saw what she meant. There were several bushes that had the glow.
There, that big one is the brightest, they said, and Nezzy walked toward where the halfling had pointed.
Wax and Lachlan trailed behind, watching the glow sink into the roots again and reappear in several other bushes.
These bushes are connected by their root system, Nezzy said as she led them along. The magic can flow through them, and it's stronger where the bushes are healthier, usually close to good, clean water.
Nezzy smiled, and Wax had to smile back. But they did notice that the elf spoke as if even she was surprised that her spell had worked. In just a few minutes, following the douse root lights, they came to a shallow stream. It was down a slight slope in the folds of the forest floor, and the water ran silent. They could have walked past it just feet away and never noticed if not for Nezzy's spell.
The elf started filling the water skins while Lachlan and Wax each drank straight from the cool water. Just as Nezzy's song said, the mass of tiny douse root tendrils waved in the current, and the water there was clear and sweet. Wax stood, feeling better already, when they heard a click nearby, high up in the trees. They crept back up the bank and walked just a few steps, listening and watching. Lachlan noticed and crept up next to him as quietly as he could. Not bad for a human in a metal suit, Wax thought. They pointed up into the higher branches where a big bird had settled, facing away from them. Its bright red talons curled around the branch and it fluttered its wings a moment, showing its shiny black feathers striped with glowing white swirls. Stomach rumbling, Wax ignored the beauty of the bird, seeing only a sorely needed meal. "I can get him. Pass me the bow," they whispered to the squire. Lachlan stood still, looking up at the bird, then looked at Wax.
"Give you my bow? Keep dreaming. I'll take the shot."
He stood slowly, drawing the bow back, the broad point of the arrow wavering just a little as he took aim.
"Okay, short stuff," Lachlan said. "Watch and learn."
The arrow sped from the bow, flashing like a comet in the sun. With a resounding chunk, it sank into the trunk of the tree, missing the bird by a wide margin. The creature turned, looked directly at Wax and Lachlan, and launched itself toward them. Wax threw themselves at the ground, and Lachlan hit the dirt right beside them. At least he had good reflexes. The sharp talons sheared the air over their heads, and a shimmering, greasy mist seemed to flake off the creature as it passed them by and disappeared into the wilderwood.
"Nice shot," Wax said sarcastically. "Like you could do better," Lachlan spat back.
Wax started to reply, but Nezzy ran up beside them to see what was going on. Lachlan looked down, cheeks red and his bow hand shaking a bit. Nezzy started to say something.
"What was..."
when the smell hit them all. Wax had smelled some bad things. A cheetah pillar den in the spring, a bog giant stew, their father's hairy feet after a day in the fields. This was much worse. Wax thought the smell was like curdled milk if you boiled it over a swamp jet fire, and it seemed to be all around them. Wax felt sick from it. Lachlan dropped his bow and covered his mouth and nose, and Nezzy shook her head.
"A muskraptor! Ugh, it must have been a muskraptor!"
She looked at Lachlan with disbelief.
"And you tried to shoot it?"
"A what raptor?" Wax asked, holding their nose.
"A muskraptor!"
Nezzy spoke the words rather than singing, as taking full breaths of the reeking air was terrible.
"The birds of the wilderwood, don't fear those that go on foot. They each have defenses of their own. When muskraptors plummet down, no creatures will stand their ground. Their stink will sink right into your bones. Ugh."
Nezzy finished and put her mouth in the crook of her arms, trying to breathe through the cloth of her cloak, but Wax could see it was no use. Nothing could stop the stink. Talking meant breathing it in even more, so they quickly gathered up their things and began to walk through the woods without another word. Even that didn't help. The bird's musk had gotten into their hair and their clothes, so they carried the smell with them. They trudged miserably through the woods, trying to find a straighter path back to the camp than they had taken getting to the stream. Waxham trailed Lachlan, who used his longsword like a machete, slashing carelessly at the plants that blocked their way. Nezzy followed behind, occasionally stooping to pluck a tuber bean plant out of the ground by the roots. They weren't very tasty, she had said, but they were better than nothing. Wax stewed silently, cursing the squire for not letting them try the bow. They were the best shot in the entire Whistlewood.
They had taken the shot, after all. Of course, they couldn't exactly brag about that. Not after it had landed them in a prison cart, and certainly not with Nezzy being an elf. They looked at the girl and she smiled back at them, face friendly and bright. Wax grinned back and looked down at their own feet, ashamed, and then froze. "Wait," they said. "Nobody move." "What is it?" Lachlan hissed, slipping his shield off his back and grabbing his sword's handle. "Tracks," Waxham said, crouching down low. "I see tracks." They leaned in close and ran their small, thick fingers through the mud. The motion reminded Wax of their father. They had learned to hunt about the same time as they had learned to walk, their father explaining every broken branch and hoofprint. These were muddled and stepped on by the squire's heavy boot, but they were clear as day to the halfling's well-trained eye. "A lot of tracks," they said, walking forward, eyes low. "Looks like something big walked through here pulling a cart, along with some horses. But the horse tracks don't look right. They're the right size, but something's weird about them." Lachlan looked tense. "So a big group came through here on horses? Any way to know if they're friend or foe?"
"There are few carts in the Wilderwood," Nezzy said, looking around nervously. "And even fewer friends."
Waxham stepped carefully across the path and crouched down. "Look at this." They traced the outline of a print in the muck at the edge of the path. Lachlan stooped down and cursed. "By Orlam's holy light."
"What is it?" Nezzy asked, stooping closer. "Oh, this is bad. I think this is bad."
The print had four long, rounded toes and a wavy line of web stretching across the middle. It was unmistakable. "It's a Frosker footprint," Wax said, thinking of Edgewater and all its friendly frog people. "A small one." Nezzy gazed up and down the path, looking so lost that Wax thought she might start crying. Lachlan stood, sheathing his sword and crossing his arms, then uncrossing them and breathing deeply.
"The Frosker don't have horses," Nezzy said, "and all our horses were lost with the sail train."
"The only horses I saw leaving Edgewater belong to the Warlock," Wax said.
For a second, their memory went back to that terrible moment when the world was burning, and then they had been knocked into the river and started sinking, left for dead, only to be saved by Nezzy and Harks, and, though they hated to admit it, Lachlan.
"They had some Frosker prisoners, the ones who didn't escape on the Tortles."
They pressed their foot into the mud, watching the shape it took.
"We aren't far behind. No more than an hour or so, I'd guess."
"We have to go after them," Nezzy said, her voice catching as she held back tears.
She glanced up the path, then looked frantically at her friends.
"Look at how small that print is. That's just a little one, like Gwip. We have to help. We have to go now."
Wax didn't like the idea of running up this path after whoever it was that had the Frosker. They saw the prints of at least a few horses, and there would probably be another guard riding on the wagon itself. Plus, they'd probably have weapons, and all Wax had was a rusty knife. Thankfully, for once, the squire was in agreement.
"No, we can't go," Lachlan said.
"What?" Nezzy said. "But Lachlan, you're a squire. You're going to be a paladin of Orlam. Didn't he help the helpless?"
"Always," Lachlan said. "And we're going to help them, Nezzy. I swear it by the sacred gauntlet."
He raised his own gauntleted hand, the one that was painted red in honor of Orlam.
"The path is fresh. We're not far behind, and they can't be going too fast with a cart in these woods. We need to go back to the camp and find the others first. We'll need all of us together if we're going to do this."
He paused, his serious, self-important expression dropping for the first time Wax could remember.
"Nezzy, we'll get them. I promise we will."
Wax was impressed. clearer thinking than I expected from him.
But what if they get away? Nezzy asked, looking to Waxham for support.
He's right, Wax said gently. Nezzy looked down and rubbed at her eyes. I can find the trail again, no problem. But we need Harks and the big guy. Plus, we can't just leave them behind.
I know, you're right, I know. I just don't want to...
She trailed off, unable to finish her sentence. Wax took her hand and nodded to Lachlan. Let's get back to the others. The squire looked at Wax and nodded once, almost begrudgingly.
Lead the way.
To be continued. Today's story was Chapter 2 of The Wilderwood, Book 2, an original fantasy serial co-written for you by Daniel Hines and Joseph Montebello, and performed for you by me, Amanda Weldon, with original songs by us all. If you would like to support Stories Podcast, you can leave us a 5-star review on iTunes, get ad-free episodes and more at patreon.com/stories, check out all of our merch available at storiespodcast.com/shop, follow us on Instagram at Stories Podcast, or simply tell your friends about us. Thanks for listening!
Hey, Prime members! You can listen to Stories Podcast ad-free on Amazon Music. Download the Amazon Music app today! Or you can listen early and ad-free with Wondery Plus Kids in Apple Podcasts. Grown-ups, before you go, tell us about yourself by completing a short survey at wondery.com/survey.